Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Atlas Mara Limited H1 2017 investor call. For the first part of the conference, all participants are on listen-only mode, so there's no need to mute your own individual lines. Afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, the call is being recorded. I'll now hand to our first speaker, Bob Diamond. Please begin.
As said, this is Bob Diamond, Chairman and Co-founder of Atlas Mara, and I want to thank you all for joining us today. I am pleased to be here to present our results for the first half of a significant and milestone year for this company. As we have done in the past, I will mention a few highlights from the period, and then Irina will take you through the financials, and the heads of our three business lines, Sanjeev, Chidi, and Mike, will share key developments. I will come back at the end to wrap things up, and we'll open up for questions. Let's turn first to slide four. First, the bottom line. I'm pleased to report that we delivered our best half-year net profit ever at more than $11 million. This is an illustration that we are executing on the plans we outlined at the start of the year. In particular, the cost savings we promised are being delivered and are falling through to the bottom line. We continue to demonstrate improvements in credit quality with total non-performing loan declining for the third straight quarter as our focus on NPLs bears fruit. Modest deposit growth was an achievement as we continue to face market challenges to broader growth. Importantly, all three of our business lines, banking, fintech, and markets and treasury, are progressing well. You'll hear more about that shortly. We are on course to deliver at the end of the year on the promise we made at the start of the year. Net profit more than double that we achieved last year. Please turn to slide five. I'm also very pleased to report that in August, we closed on a major partnership with a new investor, Fairfax Africa. The agreement included $200 million in new permanent capital from Fairfax and our existing investors. Fairfax is, quite frankly, the ideal strategic partner for us. They bring permanent capital so they can take a truly long-term view right alongside us. Their commitment to financial services means that there are many other avenues for partnership in the future, and we are aligned on strategy and vision, including reaching the unbanked and being a catalyst for broader growth. This is a strong statement of confidence about our business model and our trajectory, and we are going to do terrific things together. We are using the proceeds of that capital raise for the key initiatives that we have been targeting all year, accelerating the rollout of our fintech strategy, providing further capital to our markets and treasury business, acquiring an additional stake in Union Bank of Nigeria at less than book value, which strengthens our position as the largest shareholder in UBN. We are in a very strong position to compete and to grow in our markets, and our first half results show we are on the right path. With that, let me turn over to Irina and the team to give you more detail. Irina.
Thank you, Bob. Good day to everyone on our earnings call today. I am delighted to share with you some high-level comments on the financial results for the first half of 2017 today. I'll keep my comments short and sweet, inviting you to participate in the Q&A session at the end of this call or through one-on-one discussions to follow. I'd also want to mention that our 2017 interim accounts, having been reviewed by KPMG as our external auditor, will be published on our website today, and you can find it at www.atlasmara.com. As we turn to slide six of the presentation, let me highlight some of the key results. Atlas Mara Group reports a net profit of $11.5 million at 30 June 2017, compared with $1.2 million profit at 30 June 2016. We have delivered improved profits in the first 6 months of this year, where the economic recovery from the incredibly challenging macro conditions of the past 2 years has been somewhat slower than what we would have wanted to see across all our present markets. Three things. One, we have improved interest income through improving yields across most of our markets. The total average net interest margin year-on-year is up by almost 300 basis points, and we also benefited from further reduction in funding costs. Two, we have kept our impairments at broadly the same level, after benefiting from net non-performing loan recoveries of $2.9 million, mainly from Mozambique, Zambia and Zimbabwe. And thirdly, we have been relentless in our focus on cost control, and the positive jaws are visible in the reported profit for this half year as the highest ever interim profits that Atlas Mara has reported to date. Note that these results also incorporate Finance Bank of Zambia for the entire first half of 2017 that was not included in the comparative period. Acquisition is part of our business strategy, where after our business plan of protect and restructure of such acquisition is to move it towards growth by building it out organically. Page 6 reflects the group's total revenue growth of 9.9% in constant currency terms to $122 million, mostly boosted by significant net interest income growth during the period under review. The markets and treasury business also showed a positive 33% year-on-year growth, supporting the non-interest income line. Deposit growth remains positive at 4.3% total growth year-on-year, with a balance of $1.89 billion at 30 June, and a reported decrease of 6.4% in total loan assets closing at $1.33 billion at period end. Note the balance sheet year-on-year did in fact include the acquisition of FBZ, given the acquisition closed on the 30th of June last year. The closing balance for total equity at June 30th was $573 million compared to December 2016 of $526 million. The reasons for this increase are threefold. Firstly, the positive net impact of the profit contribution for the first half of 2017. Secondly, the modest capital raising undertaken in February's 2017 equity placing of $13.5 million. And lastly, the positive FX translation impact of $17.8 million from converting our African operations into US dollars, as we have seen some currencies strengthen against a somewhat weaker US dollar in the first half of 2017. At period end, our tangible book value was at $5.31 per share and a book value per share of $7.18. This compared to December 2016 year-end results of $5.27 and $7.29 for tangible book and book value per share, respectively. Moving on to page 7, where we reflect the consolidated group income statement. It shows both the quarter-on-quarter performance and also the half-on-half for the period ending 30 June 2017. As you can see from the slide, we've seen continued earnings progress in the second quarter of this year, it being the strongest single quarter over the past four consecutive quarters. This trajectory reflects a positive flight path for our businesses, both the repositioning that we've done in early 2017. Worthy to note on this slide is the increasing trend in net margin, the reducing cost-to-income ratio, and the commendable result from our 31.15% investment held in UVN at $8.7 million for the first half of this year, which in constant currency terms reflects good growth of 8.7 percentage points year-on-year. Slide 8 summarizes the group's consolidated balance sheet. On this slide, I'd like to refer you to the continuous downward trend in the non-performing loan ratio of 12% at June 2017 compared to 13.2% reported for the prior 2016 period. This evidences the improved quality of our loan book across our operating banks. I've copied for reference slides 9 and 10 that details the segmental results for the first half of 2017 and the comparative period across the key African trade blocks that we operate within. As you know by now, our group focuses on both supporting and taking advantage of intra-Africa trade, as we remain positive that such economic activity will increase and be profitable for all market participants active in such trade opportunities. Let us turn to slide 11 for a brief review of loans and advances as of half year June 2017. You will see from the top right-hand graph that the retail consumer book and the corporate book is almost equal in its contribution of around 40% each on a product basis. Per the graph on the bottom right of the slide, Botswana remains our largest country at 42% of the total loan assets followed by Zimbabwe, Rwanda, and Zambia, all at almost an equal size of broadly 15% each. These risk assets and sector exposure statistics still exclude the associate investment we hold in UBN, which is equity accounted for in the balance sheet and has a carrying value of just over $300 million as at June 2017. Slide 12 presents statistics around the quality of our loan book, of which I'd like to highlight a few points. The operational non-performing loan coverage ratio has remained relatively stable year on year at 58%. Given the nature of the loan book and the relative diverse sector exposure of these risk assets, and having considered relevant collateral in place, we believe that this coverage ratio represents an adequate provision level for the group's risk assets. As mentioned before, the operational NPL ratio has reduced year on year from 13.2% to 12%. The focus on improving the quality of our credit book is further evidenced by the reduction in the total operational NPL book by $35 million from $204 million in June 2016 to $169 million as of June 2017. The deposit composition slide on slide 13 reflects the positive growth in net interest margins, in particular in Mozambique, Tanzania, and Zambia, as an average of all products offered to customers for the period under review. We are particularly pleased with the growth on the transaction deposit accounts and current accounts, which both support increasing margins and behaviorally represent more stable deposit balances. Slide 14 confirms that all of our operating banks remain fully compliant with all the regulatory required ratios in the country they operate in, as prescribed by each country's banking regulator. I'd like to turn to the last slide of the finance pack, slide 15, and pause to make some brief comments on the results of UBN, who has reported their 2017 half-year results at the end of July. UBN finds itself celebrating its centenary this year, and it continues to renew its customer focus and product and technology offering, with results showing positive growth trends amidst a still challenged economy. With the launch of their 50 billion Naira rights issue in the second half of this year, UBN will have sufficient capital to execute on their growth strategy and improve their market competitive position. UBN continues to focus on enhancing operational efficiencies given their large branch network and improving earnings, especially by focusing on growth in the retail segment. Loan book growth has been somewhat muted, but this is following a deliberate risk strategy of asset class and sector diversification, focusing on improving the quality of their asset book. Net interest margins tightened from 9.1% to 7.1% given the continued market liquidity tightness. However, we've seen some light in the proverbial tunnel. With the introduction of the investors and exporters forex window, the market has seen an increase in portfolio inflows over the past few months, which has led and will continue to improve market liquidity. We believe this will result in a somewhat downturn in inflation over time and thus slowly improving the economic growth in that market.
Sanjeev, I think Arena may have dropped. Why don't you continue?
Thank you, Indra. I just sent a text to Arena as well. Thank you very much. So let me continue. I think Arena was, in any case, done with most of her presentation. And let me now cover some of the retail and commercial banking aspects of our performance for the first half of 2017. So we've had a great year, and we focused on embedding the new leaner organization structure, improving cost efficiencies, building capacity, and empowering our countries into capturing the opportunities across our operations in the various countries we operate in. As part of this reorganization, I'm happy to announce that ABC Holdings, the holding company, has a new home in Gaborone, Botswana. The relocation of ABCH office from Johannesburg to Gaborone ensures that we are now closer to our most important constituency, which is our customers. Overall, the relocation has also made our banking group much more efficient by placing senior management and support roles closer to where the execution of our strategy occurs. In line with our strong country mantra, we have continued to build capacity across our operations and have onboarded strong local talent to lead our operations in various countries. As mentioned in our last call, I'm very excited by the opportunities that lie ahead and as we roll out the strategy for our various banks to capture these opportunities. We've already started seeing green shoots and would like to share some of these the highlights for the half year. Let me refer you to slide 16. In Botswana, we finalized a $40 million fintech and financial inclusion debt facility with OPIC. We completed trade services deals worth $13 million for the government. We closed a $6 million deal with investment vehicle of a local union for public sector employees. We increased the number of mobile users to 32,000, up from 21,000, which is about a 50% growth. In Mozambique, our digital footprint continues to grow exponentially, and we are now generating 84 million Medicare of transactions every month through our point of sale network. Going forward, I'll refer to point of sale as POS. Finalize the partnership for the implementation of agency banking. Our focus on growing the small and medium-sized enterprises portfolio in Mozambique has resulted in 250 new accounts opened, providing 300 million Medicare worth of deposits. America is approximately 62 US dollar. In Rwanda, BPR won the best bank in Rwanda at the Banker East Africa Awards in May. We closed $7 million structured finance deal with a solar provider to provide affordable clean rural energy. We provided financing for the privatization of the largest public medical facility. We raised $4 billion through a rural deposit mobilization camp. And this was aimed at the rural population. We are fast becoming the banker of choice to the traditional and non-traditional exporters in the country. In Tanzania, as in Rwanda, we won the best emerging bank at the Bankers East Africa Awards in May again. We are exploring a partnership with a local telco on digital microfinancing and digital saving. As part of our efforts to increase financial inclusion, we launched the agency banking in Dar es Salaam. I also told you we similarly launched agency banking in Mozambique. In Zambia, we had a strong credit card performance. We issued 29,000 additional debit cards and 235,000 prepaid cards. We continue to significantly increase share of commercial transactions through increased point of sale and merchant penetration. We closed significant deals for financing, which included a $15 million term loan for a government agency and a $4 million financing for a leading ferrosilicon producer. We continue to participate actively in the bond market, in the bond trading market. We are one of the most prominent players in the bond trading market. In Zimbabwe, we achieved significant non-performing loan recoveries from our legacy non-performing loan portfolio of approximately $40 million. As part of our capital markets activities, we facilitated the placement of $50 million of bonds for the local road administration authority and another $14 million for a multinational utility player. We reduced cost of funds by 230 basis points from June last year. In order to facilitate local transactions, we have now rolled out 740 terminals generating over $1 million worth of transactions per week, and this continues to rapidly grow in an environment where the currency liquidity is scarce. With our new, leaner, decentralized organizations, our countries are much more empowered to capture opportunities, respond quicker with innovative products and solutions, and therefore much better placed to serve our customers. On that happy footing, I would like to hand over to Chidi, our Managing Director for Digital and FinTech. Chidi, over to you.
Thank you so much, Sanjeev. 2017 has been a deployment year for our FinTech business, with a strong focus on building strategic partnerships, deployment of a number of transformational initiatives across our countries of operation, and validation of our thesis. We remain committed to continue to deliver on our FinTech strategy across sub-Saharan Africa with a view to transform traditional banking services and reinvent the way traditional banking services are delivered. We aim to further enhance our competitiveness while providing access to previously unreachable unbanked and underbanked segments in Africa. In Q2, we further progressed the deployment of both our transformational and reinventional capabilities. In terms of transformational proposition, we further advanced our merchant acquiring initiatives and deployed 1,200 points of sale terminals, up from 700 in Q1 to over 600 merchants across Zimbabwe, Zambia, and Mozambique, which represents close to $23 million in new low-cost deposit liability mobilization, with an excess of $400,000 in direct transaction fees. Our agency banking project is now fully operational in Tanzania, with 56 of 136 agents approved by the central bank during the period. Mozambique has also gone live during the same period. Customer face-to-face transaction points in Tanzania has increased from 105 to 241, and Mozambique has increased to 12. In Mozambique alone, it will interest you to note that over 500 new accounts were onboarded through a single agent in the first 3 weeks of pilot. We also secured and executed a mandate with NetOne Telecoms in Zimbabwe for the management of their mobile money escrow account that will provide access to stable, low-cost deposit liability for our Zimbabwe operations, and also the sponsorship of companion cards to over 500,000 NetOne subscribers. As a continuation to our engagements executed with Vodacom Mozambique and Tanzania, Telcel Zimbabwe, and Blue Marble Microinsurance in Q1 2017, we continue to deliver on our new reinventional transactions. The hallmark of our achievements to date is a sign of a strategic partnership with Safaricom in Kenya for the provision of digital lending services to its over 60,000 Lipa na M-Pesa merchants and 170,000 M-Pesa agents. We expect to launch the service before the end of September. We have also progressed the technical implementation of an additional reinventional initiative, which has now reached advanced stages. We expect to launch this new engagement in Q4 2017. Both engagements are compelling and will deliver new sources of enhanced and diversified revenues for the group. I now hand over to Mike for the markets and treasury updates.
Thanks, Chidi. In H1, we saw a continued maturation of the markets and treasury business line as we focused on the development of our onshore teams and businesses, as well as on the infrastructure build for our offshore business, thereby enhancing our overall capacity to grow the business. In terms of financial achievements, markets and treasury showed a pleasing year-on-year growth for the first half of 2017, with a 33% overall growth versus the same period of 2016. It was not, however, a period without challenges. The business in Mozambique, which in prior years was our biggest revenue contributor, has seen a marked slowdown in terms of both volume and business, volume of business as well as in margins. The overall country market's revenue pool for Mozambique shrank over the period by close to 50% versus prior year. What was encouraging, though, was the contribution of the businesses in Zambia and Zimbabwe. In Zambia, declining yields coupled with a stable currency and growing client business contributed to an improved year-on-year performance. The team in Zimbabwe delivered an excellent performance in what are difficult times economically, showing a great ability to adapt to the market conditions, as well as making themselves relevant to the clients they serve through delivering innovative client solutions. Progress on infrastructure development was focused on both the continued training of not only markets and treasury staff, but also on the training of branch staff in regional areas on the markets product set. The infrastructure build-out of the offshore business was also a priority. The focus was on getting the operational side of the business in place. To this extent, the application to become regulated by the Dubai Financial Services Authority is underway, and we are hoping to complete this process in H2 of 2017. With the additional new capital in place, it is expected that from 2018, this business will become a bigger contributor to the revenue pool as the offshore client base is developed. Nigeria will also become a significant part of the offshore business as we plan to leverage off our increased stake in the UBN business. And with that, I'd like to hand over to Bob for closing comments.
Thank you, Mike. Great presentation, everyone. Arena, as you were so unceremoniously dropped by our technology, I think you are almost done. Is there anything that you want to add, or should we move on, Arena?
Thank you, Bob. You're right. I have strong but less positive feelings towards technology that fails one from time to time. I was indeed wrapping up on the opportunity that we believe Nigeria holds. In closing, from my side, the only final comment I wanted to make was around the post-period end successful completion of the strategic financing transaction of $200 million to fund an increased interest in our investment held in UBN Nigeria. As mentioned before, we will also consider further investments in the markets and treasury business and the fintech business lines in focusing on investment that will secure longer-term sustainable growth in all. With a huge thank you also from my side to our supportive shareholders, both existing and new. our commitments to deliverables are on track for 2017 and beyond. And so but that, let me hand back to you to wrap up for us. Thank you.
Thanks, Arena. Terrific. Listen, as we look ahead to year-end, we expect to continue the positive trajectory that we are on. And we expect to deliver exactly what we promised at the start of the year. To remind you, we will cement the cost reductions that we have promised. We will report a full-year net profit more than double 2016's. FinTech will show accelerating revenues, and markets and treasury will show continued strong growth. We are on the right track, and we are executing. You can expect us to continue to do so the rest of the year and to deliver a strong second half. Thank you again for joining us today. Operator, if there are questions, I would be delighted to take those.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now to enter the queue. Once your name is announced, you can ask your question. If you find it's answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel. So once again, that's 01 to ask a question, or 02 if you need to cancel. There'll be a brief pause now whilst we register your questions. Once again, any questions, please dial 01. Okay, there seems to be no questions at this time.
Let me just say thank you again to everyone. We are on track. We are delivering. We're focused on execution. And we know that it's execution, execution, execution going forward. We feel we're in a very good position, but we really, really appreciate the support of our investors. Thank you. It's been a good year so far. Let's get back out and complete a great year. Thank you.
This now concludes the conference. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect.